Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Mem Beit, and we were in the last words of Mem Alef Amud Beit. So what we had last discussed was the question of how did we get the idea that somebody who eats a Korban Pesach, an Erev Pesach, is going to be over on an Isser. On a lav that is chayev on. We understand that it's an over on an Isra say because it says v'achlu ata basar balayla hazeh. But the idea that that implies that you can't eat it during the daytime, although that's true, is still only halav haba michlal aseh. And halav haba michlal aseh is only as powerful as the aseh that is its source. And therefore, how could you say that you'd be chayev on? It was quite clear that it meant you're chayev on it because it compared it to the idea of eating kezayit namik shechashecha. So the last words that we learned on Erev Shabbos was Omer of Chista Hamani, as the daf closes, Hamani Reb Yehuda. So this is going aliba to Reb Yehuda, and Reb Yehuda Shita is that a lav haba michlal, a statement that begins with leimor, it's a brand new idea, is considered to be a lav, even though it's only seems to be phrased as an aseh, because the word leimor adds the lo ta'aseh. And here's where the mocker of Rabbi Yehuda is, the Tanya. Shor vaseh, sarua v'kalut nidava ta'aseh oto. So here we're listing various mumin. So a sarua means it has one leg that is longer than the other leg. Or the hooves did not improperly develop, so it didn't, the hooves didn't split completely. So it's all very nice to make it an adava. You can give it to the Bedek HaBayit, but you have to be careful not to give it to the Mizbeach, because it's usher for the Mizbeach. So that means oto atamatvis the Bedek HaBayit. You can give this to the Bedek HaBayit, but that implies what if you would try to give behemoths that are suitable for the Mizbeach to the Bedek HaBayit? Now this, interestingly enough, is implying this and only this you can give to the Bedek HaBayit, oto. But to give a real kosher animal for the Mizbeach to the Bedek HaBayit is a no-no. Okay, but what does a no-no mean? Well, Mikan amru, kol ha-matvis tmimi b'Bedek HaBayit over ba'aseh. Because even though it's a no-no, but it's only a no-no by inference from the mitzvah's aseh of nidavat aseh oto, from the statement of an aseh. So therefore the implication cannot possibly be mechayev you the way a lo ta'aseh would be mechayev you. And here's where Reb Yehuda introduces his new halacha. Reb Yehuda says, yes, you'd be right if that's all that it would say. Ainli ela ba'aseh. I want to add to you that you'd even be over on a low ta'aseh. How is that? Talmud lomar. Since the entire sugya begins with the words, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe leimor, that word leimor teaches you that kol ha-parasha kula, whatever we're talking about over here, even though we're talking about it in a positive way, is below ta'aseh. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda's shita is when something begins with the word leimor, it means it is a lav. And over here it says, Vayomer Hashem Moshe v'Aharon leimor. So the whole parsha over here as well tells me that I'm supposed to eat the Korban Pesach b'layla hazeh. But since it began with leimor, so then it's a lav haba, as Rashi puts it, a lav haba michlal leimor. And it's not based on a lav haba michlal aseh. So it's a completely new type of lav. Omar lo Rebbe labar kapara, how the heck does leimor mean that? I don't understand. My mashma, where is the lota aseh? So bar kapara said to him, dichtiv leimor. The word leimor itself implies lo ne'emar bidvarim, that there is an absolute negative that is mentioned here about everything that we are about to present in a positive fashion. Or others say, Be'rav Amre, Leimor means there is a lav here, lav emor. So it's a contraction of lav emor. So according to Rav Yehuda, we have a fantastic insight that wherever the Torah begins with what appears to be just like this introductory sentence that doesn't seem to have any particular meaning, la halacha, that Adarabba, the Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Limor, is introducing, putting us on notice that the things that are being said, even though they're being said as a tzivui in a positive way, you are meant to take the negative implications seriously as a lav. Okay, the next thing that the Mishnah said is that the water that's used by the baker, Mei Tashmish or Shel Nachtom, has to be poured out. So this is the water that is used when he cleans off his hands after doing the work on the dough. If he leaves that water around, then any remnants of dough ultimately are going to become chametz in the water. Then if he used, first of all, he's not allowed to have chametz, but if he reuses it, then obviously everything that is going to be eaten is going to be eaten as chametz. So he should pour that out. And we're talking about on Pesach. So Tani Chada Shofchin B'Makom Midron, pour it out onto a place where it's going to run down. So it's on an incline. And therefore, it's not going to end up being around long enough to become chometz, and you won't be over on it. But you're not allowed to pour it into a place where it's just going to sit in a puddle, ein shofchin b'makom ha'ashboren, because over there it's going to collect, sit there for a while, until it actually becomes chometz. Tanya Idach, another brisa says, you can even pour it onto a makom ha'ashboren. You can even pour it onto a place which is where it will gather. Ashboron means like it's a puddle. So how do you explain that? Well, it's obvious, isn't it? I mean, lo kasha, it depends how much water you're talking about. Hoda nefishi, dekavu, if it's going to be sitting there and collect in one place, so then that's our problem. It needs to be able to be absorbed or to run off. That's basically what the two prices are saying. So if there's a small amount of water, which will be absorbed rapidly in the ground, so then fine, so put it in a puddle where it will be absorbed. If it's not going to be absorbed rapidly, you got a lot of water, then let it run. And as it runs down, it'll run down the street. It'll just basically end up disappearing. So Hodolona Fishi Delokov, the second one, was talking about B'makom HaShboren, where you don't have a lot of water, and therefore it's not going to be sitting there in one place, and it will be okay. Omer of Yehuda, Isha lo talush ela b'mayim shelanu. So you're not allowed to make your matzah unless that water stayed overnight. Lano means it was allowed to rest overnight, and this is because during the period where the water now is being prepared for Pesach, it's Nisan time, obviously. And in Nisan, we consider the outside atmosphere to be cooler than the temperature in the ground, which is going to be maintaining heat in the ground. And therefore, the water in the ground will be slightly warmer. And we would like to have water chilled as much as possible. So make sure that the water stays out of the ground overnight so that by the time you're ready to start making your matzah, it will be cool. And Rav Masna said this over in Papunya, and he used exactly those words, Isha lo talush ela b'mayim shalanu. So the next day, everybody came with their jerry cans to Rav Masna and said, okay, give us water, because they understood him to say, only in our water, mayim shalanu, only in our water. Okay, so fine. So it's all right. If it's got to be your water, I hope you don't charge a lot, but we need water. So they all bring their jerry cans. Oh my gosh. And he forgot. They all come to him for water. So give the water. So he forgot that they don't really speak Hebrew there very well. And he should have said it in Aramaic. So he said to him, what I meant was, mayim debitu, Amre. I meant water that was bat. Bat, remember, actually we find that in Ezra Nehemiah too. Bat tovat means he slept hungry, overnight hungry, didn't have what to eat. So bat means to sleep overnight, keep it overnight. Dorash Rava, Isha lo talush b'chama. You should not be kneading in the sun, because that way it's going to heat up the water and heat up the dough if the dough's in the sun. V'lo b'chame chama, don't use water that had been in the sun. V'lo b'mayim ha'grufim en ha'muliyar, don't use water that you find at the bottom of the muliyar. The muliyar is this big, thick samovar, which retains its heat, and we're worried maybe it retained its heat for a couple of days, and it never got a chance to fully cool off. Don't think you got time. You've got to complete all the time you have to be working the dough. When it says minat tanur, it doesn't mean the oven literally. It means from like the kitchen counter. Don't stop working the dough. Work the dough until such time as it's already inside of the oven. And not only that, Sarah Shnei Kelim, she's got to have one. If she's using cold water to put on the dough and to keep adding the dough or smoothing the dough, then she cannot use that one to be the same one that she's going to cool her hands down and clean her hands with. So first cool off your hands, cool them and clean them in one bucket of water, and then use another bucket of clean, cool water to put on the dough. What would be the din if she didn't keep these halachas? This is a machlokas rishonim, whether this is referring to all of the above dinim or whether it's referring specifically, Rashi says in the warm water, but a lot of the rishonim learned that Rashi doesn't mean that uniquely and that it's a question about all of the above, including, by the way, the mayim shalano, which, by the way, many learned that that's the point. I should have mentioned this. That was the point of the whole weird story about give us water. And then him saying, well, I didn't mean my water. I meant my Shalano. But by then it's a little bit too late if there, I mean, what would have happened? So they learned that the mashma'ut is that it was only a lechatchila and wouldn't have been ma'akev, the actual baking of the matzahs. Okay, so here the question is, what if lemaisa she went ahead and she did it? So do we say that, now look, as I mentioned to you earlier, remember that it's possible to tell, certainly at the time of the Gemara, there would be semich on this, you can tell by looking at the dough whether it was baal idei chimutz or not. And that was by seeing the coloration of the dough, if it had puffed up at all, if it had little cracks in it, and so on, as we're going to see later on. So, I mean, what it means is over here, even if we have detected that the dough is okay, but still, is there a knas derabbanan for being over on the iser that we told you? We told you how to bake. And the fact that you go out and you want to be mekel, and assuming that that was done purposefully, so then very often we find that there's a knas on this when you're over on a takana derabbanan about how to do things. If you don't do it properly, so then rabbanan rekenes. So what's the din? So Marzutra says it's mutter. Ravashi says it's usher. Marzutra says, listen, I'll prove to you from the sugya that we just had before, and I'll show you that it can't be that it's usher. Because didn't it say in that braita, we learned this on Thursday, ein lo titina sorim bepesach ve'im latat. You're not allowed to soak the barley, right? But what if you did? So it says, okay, so then you look at it and you detect whether it got to the point where it would have become chometz. So if it was nitbaku, so if they split open, so then it's also. But if lo nitbaku mutarim, so you see that even though you weren't allowed to do it, but you're allowed to detect whether it's a problem ex post facto if it were done, right? And that shows that b'diavad, it's winter. Says Ravashi, you can't prove from one example of an Issa Drabbanan to any other example of an Issa Drabbanan. O tu kuloch b'choda mechita mechitinu? Well, I understand what you think, that every Issa Drabbanan is all the same cloth that you wove out of the same cloth. It's not all woven out of the same cloth. Hechad itmar itmar, hechad lo itmar lo itmar. If you have something where it's said beferish that there is no knas, then there's no knas. But if it doesn't say that, then you have to assume that there in general is a knas drabbanan on doing things against the takana of the rabbanan. Hadran alach kol sha'a. Wow-wee. My gosh. That was really high quality. Okay, so now we begin a discussion of the Isurim in terms of what things are Mechayev, what Azhorais, Chiyuve Kores, Isurei Bayira, Bayimotze. We've been talking about a very simple and simplistic approach to Chometz. Either it's Chometz or it's not Chometz. But turns out that things are more complicated than that. We have to take into consideration chometz that is mixed with other ingredients. And then, of course, there will be a difference between the level of the mixture. because as far as the Torah is concerned, a kizayis b'chdei achilat pras allows something to still be present and not be bottle in the mixture. So we would have to distinguish between whether there is a kizayis b'chdei achilat pras or not. And then we also have chometz that is not really edible. And then we have chometz, which is sa'or. Now, sa'or is not particularly edible because it's very, very sour, and it's used to make other things chometz. But there's also chometz, which is called chometz nukshe. Chometz nukshe is a chometz which is just, it's not tasty, and it's been ruined. So in other words, for instance, suppose you make paste, a glue, out of the common ingredients of making a glue is you take some flour and mix it with water. I'm sure you remember this as kids. You know, you make paper mache and so on. So the question is, okay, I mean, nobody's going to eat that stuff. Is that chometz in every way? Is it a chi of karis if you would eat it? Is it usur in terms of bayiro, bayimatze, for your kids to bring home a paper mache, doll or something that they made in nursery? So all those kind of things, those are what we need to discuss here. And we start with a strange language that we're not really sure what it means. Because elu ovrim bepesach, what exactly does elu ovrim mean? So Rashi learns that ovrim means you need to, either it means you're over on a lav, which is really weird. I mean, so then it would say that, no? But that seems to be how Rashi's learning. This is elu ovrim. Means with the following, you would be over on Bayera e Bayimatze. The Riva is medactic from the word ovrim. These things have to be mivuar, meaning get rid of these things, meaning get rid of them completely, because if you don't, then you will be over on Bayera e Bayimatze, unless, of course, you're mivato, but it's the same as any other chometz. So that's the way the Riva understands it. That's the way Rashi understands it. And in fact, that's the way the Rambam understands it. Now, most of the other Mefarshim understand it the way Tosfos here understands it. And that is Elu Ovrim means get it off of your table because you're not allowed to eat it. But it doesn't mean that you're going to be over on Bal Yera and Bal Yimatse, in which case Ovrim is Me'al HaShulchan, according to the Rabbeinu Tam. And again, there may be nafkaminas in terms of how much chometz there is in relative to the non-chometz in terms of the mixtures that we'll discuss as we go along. Okay, so first, let's take a look at two separate categories of issues that are being raised here. And one of them would be the question of the mixture, and the other is the question of the chometz that's not quite edible, which is the chometz nuksha. The Mishnah puts the two together and seems to give them the same halachas. So, elu ovrim bepesach. So first we start with things that are certainly edible, but they are made in a mixture. So we have the famous kutach habavli, which is that the dip that's made out of moldy bread and fermented flour, and a lot of whey as milk products. And because of that, of course, it's got all of this chometz in it. Sheikhar hamadi, and that's beer like they make in Madi, which is not the normal beer at the time of the Gemara, which the normal beer that was made out of dates. Sheikhar hamadi would be like our kind of beer. We'll see. There may be different levels of beers, some of which are mamish chometz gomor, and others which are tarovis chometz. Chometz ha'adomi, this would be vinegar that comes from Edom, and that had chometz in it. Zitom ha'mitri, which was also, we're going to get into the details of what how we make these things and so on. So these things, according to Rashi, bayiro bayimotze, according to others, you're mechuyif to get rid of them, but you won't be over by your rabbi, you might say. According to yet others, like the Rabbeinu Tam, don't bring them on the table, but you don't have to be ma'avirei min ha'olam. Now, there's also things that are not foodstuffs, and that would include the zoman shel zaba'im. So dyers use zoman, which the Gemara will explain. Amilan shel tabachim, which the Gemara will explain. And tachshitei nashim, which sounds crazy, women's women's decorations? We'll see. The Gemara will explain that. Anyway, the rule is, Zakla, kol shehu mimin dagan, hareza over bepesach. Anything that is made from one of the chamisha mine dagan, which has become chometz, so you would be over if you own this on Pesach, which is, again, mashba, that again, the way Rashi is learning, you would be over on Bal Yera'eh and Bal Yematzeh. And that would mean that they are also aser to eat. Hare elu ba'azhara, this is going to be an issur d'oraisa to eat, but ein be'em mishum karet. Even though there's a new issur d'oraisa, which we have a special pasuk about that, but there is no chiev of karet. We'll see why in this particular case it's not included in the normal din of karet. Okay, so basically the way we just read it would work out according to Rashi's approach and according to the Rambam's approach. Others, again, don't understand that. They just learn it, that it's either it's a chiyav derabbanan to get rid of it. You wouldn't be chiyav derabbanan, a deoraisa, and others learn you can even keep it, and there's not even a chiyav. Then the question is, okay, what about this last piece? This last piece is iser only benogea achila, and it's not clear if it's benogea achila. We'll see there's a machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rebbe Elazar about the chiyav of achila in a case where it's mixed. So we're not sure, because bepashtus, what it's referring to here is where you do not have a kezias b'chdei achilas pras. So if it's saying hare'elu ba'azara, then it's saying that there would be an iser even on something that is not b'chdei achilas pras, which is not the way we paskin. Okay, so now first let's go through the various things that are mentioned over here. Tana Rabbanan. There are three things. Let's take the Kutach HaBavli, first of all. Three things are said about Kutach HaBavli. It's pretty awful stuff. It's metamtem, it's halev. I mean, it's going to clog up all your arteries. This stuff is really bad. And it's mesame sanayim. It's also going to blind you. And it's makrisha taguf, and it just makes you really weak all around. The reason it's metamtem, it's halev, is mishum nisyuvi dechalva. It's got all of this whey in it, and for some reason, whey is considered to be metamtem es halev. Whether it means spiritually, or whether it means literally physically to harden your arteries, it's besames ha'inayim because it contains salt, and specifically a lot of salt that has in it melach sodomis, which is besames ha'inayim. And it's makhisha taguf. It makes your entire constitution weak because it contains mold, and that mold is really not good for you. Tana Rabbanan. Once we're all talking about kind of food that really mess you up, there's three things that really increase marbima zevel. They just increased your waste products. Kofafina takoma. They just make you weak and you bend over, look like an old man. And they damage your eyesight, take away 1/500th of your eyesight. And this is potkiber. This is like really using flour that is completely unrefined. And the shechar chadash, if you have beer that hasn't been properly aged, and yerek chai, if you eat a lot of raw vegetables, Rashi says, particularly things like leeks, radishes, onions that you eat a lot of all the time, as opposed to the Gemara and Brachas, it talks about how it's good for you a little bit. So those kind of things are not good to have a lot of. Tana Rabbanan. Shlosh dvarim mimatim et hazevel, but we also have the exact opposite kind of foods. We have foods that actually will limit the amount of waste that you produce because the food is utilized better. Zokfina takoma, they really make you alert. And they may irin eta einayim, they actually make you able to see more clearly. And that would be patnikiya, if you've got well-refined flour, basar shamein, meat that's good in fat, and yain yashan, old wine. Patnikiya refers to smida. That's like really fine flour. Basar shamein, that would be like, I mean, imagine a goat, This is a Spirita, which is a female goat that never gave birth. It's got all of its energy in it. Yayin Yashan is talking about Atik. Atik means it's the year. This is the third year from the time that you made the wine. In general, you should know that where you people are telling you this will be good for your eyesight, let's say. So then you can be sure that it's bad for your heart. If they tell you this is good for your stomach, then you can know it's bad for your eyes. It's always a trade-off. So like, never take this health advice. So generally speaking, kol mili demali lahai, kosh lahai. Whatever it is, it's bad for another it. Just take that for granted. There's only certain things that are good in general. And that would be fresh ginger. Yum, yum, yum. So that's zangabila retiva and pilpale arichta. I don't know exactly how, what, like a long pepper, what defines a long pepper, I'm not sure. Pat nikiya, like we said. Basa shamein, yain, yashan. All of this is male lakule gufe. And that's name of a good name for a restaurant in these times. Male lakule gufe. You're sure you'll get all the religious people to come running in. Anyway, let's talk about the other things in the Mishnah. Sheikhar hamadai. So why is that usher? That's usher because they would romube me sa'ari. So they would add, as opposed to our beer, which was entirely from dates, the muddy beer was also a date beer. And this is why it's listed over here as a taruvas chavetz. So the muddy beer is also a date beer, Rashi says later. And they added to it this water that they had soaked barley in. So therefore, it's basically a mix. So then that's just taruvas chavetz. Where we would have beer like is made today, where you have entirely, the beer is entirely based on chavetz. So that wouldn't be taruvas chametz. That could be chametz gomer. Chametz adomi, that also is vinegar that they add barley itself into, the shodu beisare, and therefore it's a mixture. Omer Rav Nachman batchila, kishayu mevi'in esachim yuda. And they originally, when there was a Beis HaMikdash, and they would bring these beautiful nesachim, wine that came from Yehuda, the schus and the quality of those wines was such that lo haya yinam shel Yehuda machmitz, you could not get the wine from Yehuda to turn into vinegar. No matter what you do, no matter how long you would keep it, it would never turn into vinegar unless you did something to turn it into vinegar. So you put a little bit of barley in it, and that would start encouraging the growth of the type of yeast that would mess it up. And that would be what was known as chometz. So any chometz you knew was catalyzed for dafka by using seorim. But nowadays, achshav, it's a disaster, because now the place that you get that level of wine is dafka from the goyim. So enye nam shel adomim machmitz, you want to go to Italy, then you'll get that kind of wine that it's not going to be able to be chometz unless you put seorim into it. And that's what we call now chometz adomi. And this is because of the pasuk that says, Imala'a hacharava. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will fill one from the one that is completely destroyed. So in other words, Imala'zo harvazo. So if Yisrael, Yerushalayim, is filled, then we know that Rome is destroyed. And if Rome is filled, then we know that Yerushalayim is destroyed. And the level of the way that the civilization is developing is a sign that they're actually, which one is on its way up and which one is on its way down. And therefore, you understand that the original relationship that Yitzchak Avinu defined between Yaakov and Esav, and the way even that the original Nevi'ah, as we'll see in the morning, in the moment, that defines Yitzchak, Esav, and Yisrael, are going to define history at all times. So if you find that Eretz Yisrael is becoming more and more successful, then you will find that Italy is going downhill, or the West is going downhill. If you find that Yisrael is in a matzav of golus, so then they will be on the height of development. So imala zo, chareva zo. Nachum Bar Yitzchak says, you don't have to go there. You can go directly to the original Nevi'ah that was given to Rivka. La'om mila'om ye'amatz. La'om mila'om ye'amatz means that each one of them is going to be mit'ametz based on the level of the other one, so that you can always see that if something is going up in one, then it's going down in the other. Tanya Amar Rabbi Yehuda, B'Yehuda B'Rishona Lokeach Chometz Mi'am Ha'aretz, Eino Tzarich La'aser. It used to be that if somebody would buy from an Am Ha'aretz, so even though we had a Takona of Dmai, that did not apply to Chometz. Because of the fact that it was so much, B'nei Shechazaka, Eino Elamin Atemet. In those days, the chometz would not come from wine. It would come from temed. And temed is talking about water that was put on residual products after making the wine. We'll see exactly what products we're talking about, and it depends. And that would be junk, you know. So since it was so junky, it would turn into vinegar. And therefore, there was no chiyuv for taking meiser from it, we're assuming. But nowadays, you do have to take off meiser, because the chazaka is that that chometz came actually from the poor quality wine that we have today. So in other words, he seems to be saying that the reason you wouldn't have to worry is because since it was made from temed, there's no chiyuv of meiser. But that's not true, because we know that Reb Yehuda actually holds you do have to take a meiser from temed. So how do we understand this? V'savar Reb Yehuda temed lav bar yisrael. You're trying to tell me that Reb Yehuda holds you don't have to take off meiser from making wine out of temed? V'tanya, it says dafka in the Mishnah. I don't know why it says v'tanya. I mean, it should say b'pashtus like the Mishnah Shashash says. It's because it's a Mishnah. Tanan hamitameid. If somebody's making temet from grape residual products that you didn't take off meiser from, and he put in mayim b'midah umatzah kedei mitato, so if he put in a certain amount, let's say he puts in 5 gallons of water into this, and now he siphons it back out, and he finds exactly what it is that he put in, so that there was no additional liquid that came out, so then he does not have to take out water, because it means that the temed really just got some flavoring, but it didn't actually get a real wine in it. But Rabbi Yehuda, Dafke is the one who says it's Yerchayev. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, we saw this, the guy being Mikvos as well. Sorry. Rabbi Yehuda goes according to Tom and according to the color. So it doesn't make any sense if Rabbi Yehuda says over there that temed would have to take off meiser. Why is Rabbi Yehuda the one who is saying over here that if you would have been making the chometz out of temed, that in those days when the wine was so good, we can be sure you made out of temed, and that you wouldn't have to take off meiser? He's the last one that should say that. Says, well, no, that isn't the point. It wasn't because the temed isn't mechayev. It's because of the fact that the wine was so chashuv in that day, and that the temed was so meaningless in those days, that an Am Ha'aretz would certainly take off trumas of meiser from temed, because it's like it doesn't cost him anything. It's garbage. So, you know, why not take off trumas of meiser? So over there, we're not chashadam ala temed. You could say that. But you could say, by same anekshadu, and there's two different types of temet. And it depends what type of residue you made the temet out of. When did Reb Yehuda say in the Mishnah, you do have to take off meiser? That was talking about temet that was made from lees of the wine. And lees, actually, that's all of the whatever is sitting down at the bottom of the container. So over there, you have real wine that is still sitting in there. So, we're talking about in the Braita, which is mashma, that you do not have to take off. That's referring to the kind of temed that is made only out of seeds, because the seeds really don't have any actual wine in them. And therefore, it would depend on the level of the wine. I just want you to know, it's interesting that back in the old days, all of the Badat's wines were essentially temed, because what they would do was, and they would collect the leftover contents of these big storage containers of the wines that they would not give a heksher on, and they would buy the junk remnants. Then they would put water on it, let it soak, and they would market that as the wine. And it was all awful stuff. And Briskers wouldn't even make a Bari Pra Geffen on those wines once upon a time. It was a big problem because you didn't really get enough taste even from them. They used to add this alcohol that was made artificially. And that's what passed for wine in this country. It's like really amazing that now it's one of the major wine producers. And 50 years ago, just there was no wine here. There was only like two or three Carmel wines, which of course nobody religious would eat because that only had the Rabbanut Hechsher, you know, Chas v'Shalom to eat that. And then they had no high quality wine whatsoever. All of the wines that were marketed in the regular grocery stores were absolute junk. Incredible. Nowadays, you can find Mamish best wines in the world here.
Winning world awards all the time.
Mamish incredible. Really, really incredible. It's one of the big Imola Harava. This used to be Italian wines, French wines, and now it's Mamish Imola Harava. Okay, Zeitum HaMitzri. What exactly is the Zeitum HaMitzri? So Rav Yosef says, well, it's this drink that you make out of one-third of barley, one-third kurtumi, generally translated as saffron, and one-third salt. And Rav Papa, he took out the saorim, and instead he put in chitim, and he felt that that was the correct way to make Zeitum HaMitzri. And the way to remember this, the simen, to remember is sisani, because the simen being sisani is a container that you use for dates. And remembering that is Samach Samach, which is Yosef Sari, Sasa. So that way you remember who said what. It was Yosef, Rav Yosef, who said the Saorim. So, okay, then you'll know that the other one is Rav Papa. Anyway, those are the ingredients. You want to know the rest of the recipe? Okay. So you take these ingredients, now you soak them, okay? So you have to soak them, and then you have to be kaluluhu. So you have to roast them in a fire, v'tachnelu, then you have to grind them all together. And this you could drink from divchavad atzarta. So from Pesach time, you would, divcha literally means the zevach. So from Pesach time, which is the Pesach, is al shem the zevach, until Shavuos. And that is the time that you utilize these medical drinks. And the kamit merapile, so somebody who's constipated, this thing will loosen your bowels. And derape, if you are tend towards diarrhea, this will make you more constipated. So it'll cure diarrhea, it's bekametle. But it is dangerous because of that. It could be a really dangerous laxative for someone who is sick or for a pregnant woman, and she is suffering from constipation, it can really be dangerous by being too effective. So then it's sakanta. What is zoman shel tzaba'in? So in Bavel, which is here, Hacha, they define this as maya dechiviri. So this is water that you soaked a lot of bran in, and what that's used for, it's used for a dyer, because it's tzave behu laka, it should say. So they use this for lak, which is a type of paint or a type of dye, and that would mean that it is essentially, I mean, it's obviously not edible, but it's chometzi, so it's chometz nuksha. And what is amilan shel tabachim, which the chef uses? Well, that's a kind of bread that they make out of grain that is not ripe, and the reason that it's used is not to eat. It's used as an absorber for all of the gooey stuff that's on top of a soup or on top of a stew. So they take this stuff, they would put it on top of the stew, it would absorb all of the upper layer and all of the fats that would come out on top, and you mean piakadera, and that is shoevet hazohama. So a good chef would use this kind of stuff. It's not really edible, but it's pure chometz. And kolan shel soferim, what would that be? So again, here in Bavel, they say it's perura de ushkafe. It's the glue that the ushkafim and the leather workers, so it's like for making shoes, It's the leather that they use to press different thin layers of leather together, press them together until they harden. So that's ushkafi. You may be aware of the fact that they used the, nowadays, I don't think they do it anymore, but there used to be the dakas tefillin that were made this way, that they would press the leather, a very thin piece of leather together, and make a cheap buy it for tefillin from it. I don't even know if they sell this anymore, but that used to be the standard kind of tefillin that you would buy in your, you know, cheapo Sfarim store and so on, that people who weren't marked so much on their tefillin would buy. So that was the Perura Dushkafi. And Reb Shimi Michozna Omar, that it's actually Tipulan Shelbunot Ashirin. This is the paste that they use as a depilatory, which is Mishairototo Livnot Aniim. So they would leave this over, because we'll see that the people who could afford it would use a high quality depilatory that was made out of high quality flour. And then if they had anything that was left over, they would give it over to the daughters of the Sofrim. Sofrim are usually the poor people. Sofrim means the school teachers. School teachers were always poor. This was the, which Yaakov Avinu is Meramis to about Shimon, that they had to go from place to place teaching kids. And they used that because of that. They would call it Shel Sofrim because they were given over to the poor. Really? Ain't that's what it means? Vatani Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya said, hold on a second. There's seven things mentioned in our Mishnah. Four of those things are referring to a country. Three of those things are referring to various umaniyot, various types of crafts or of businesses. And okay, so that would make sense if, let's say, we have the things that are used, the kutach and the various beers that we spoke about, vinegar. Those are things that we identify by their country, and they're used all over. But the zoman, the amilan, and the kolan, we're defining in terms of the thing, the business that they're used for, the craft that they're used for. But now you're telling me it doesn't mean a craft. It's just a way of referring to poor people, but it doesn't mean sofrim. So then, where is there a mini umanut being discussed over here? He amriti pulancho bnot ashirim. And that's the way Reb Chiya, I don't understand how that becomes something that is mentioning people, because there you're saying rich children, that's all over. So that shows that Reb Shimi is wrong. Okay, so what do you say it means? You say it means perura d'ushkafi. It means the glue for people who make shoes or leather workers. What does that have to do with sofrim? It should have said kolan shel ratzanim. It should have said shoemakers. Why did we call it of sofrim? I mean, sofrim makes sense if you're telling me because they left it over to the poor. But how is a shoemaker glue being called sofrim? Amrev Oshaya, it does mean shoemaker's glue. The reason that we call it kolan shel sofrim is because that glue was used also by sofrim as a way to bind together pages of the niyarim, the niyarot that they would write with. There's some learn that it means they actually would make the papyrus with it and glue together the pieces of reeds with it to make papyrus. And then the next thing is, Rebbe Eliezer adds, Takshitei Nashim, you got to be kidding. How could Takshitei Nashim have, where did Takshitei Nashim have chometz in it? No, what Rebbe Eliezer was meaning is Tipulei Nashim. He was talking about depilatories, because the Omer of Yonam Rav, Benot Yisrael Shigil Pirkan, V'lo Yigil Shanim. So let's say that you have young girls who have already reached puberty, but they're young and they're embarrassed. They don't want to go to school, be with other kids when they look more mature than the other kids. So what they would do is they would try to remove their pubic hair. So binotaniim tofloto tan besid. So poor girls would utilize lime as a depilatory. Binot ashirim tofloto tan besolet. And that's what we were referring to, which we thought was the reference earlier. This is what Rabbi Eliezer is talking about. And this is the very high quality flour that the people would use if they could afford it. And Benot Melachim, the really, really high class girls, they would use Shemen Hamor. And where do we see that? From the story of what the women would go through in preparing them for Achashverosh, which is, of course, Benot Melachim. Shenema Shisha Chodashim B'Shemen Hamor. What exactly is Shemen Hamor? Ravuna Bar Yimei Omer, it's Satkatz, which is myrrh, or apparently. Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba Omer, it's just regular olive oil, but it's not used for eating. It's not yet one-third ripe. And that had a depilatory effect. Tanya and the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, what is anpiknin? This anpiknin is what it says you cannot use for the shemen of the menachas. That is shemen zayit shelo hevi shlish. V'lama sachinoto, why do you use it? Most learn that this means going back on the shemen more, not on the anpiknin, which does not ma'adena tabasar, so that this is going back to shemen amor, b'pnei shemei shir et aseyar, so it's a depilatory, but it's also me'adena tabasar.